RadioSurvivor.com is where you can reach us. On behalf of Jennifer Waits, who produced today's episode, my name is Eric Klein. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. I hope you're all well. And one more time for the radio audience, that episode of Radio Survivor that we just aired was originally recorded on August 18th, 2020, just about 1 year ago. And we were talking about a forthcoming 24-hour live radio broadcast.
You're listening to
WGXA
90.7 FM.
Acra.
Let's listen to that and see how.
WGXE welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXE, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXE and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXE. 518-291-9492.
Oh dear, I really want to go upstate.
Well, I gotta put some gas in the car. You know, they're still rationing down here.
Oh, honey, I want to go up and see the 20-somethings upstate. They can't get jobs, and they're not washed. I'm going to bring a washcloth and a bit of my favorite lavender soap.
Oh, I love that lavender soap, honey. It really smells delicious on you.
Oh, think of how it will smell on the 20-somethings. They are so cute when they're sleeping in their cars.
Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Are you tired of your flying saucer always breaking down on your way to Mars?
Wish you could get more bang for your whoopee at the gas pump?
Well, here at Flying Saucer Mart, we have the perfect flying saucer for you.
It goes as fast as light. It comes in a variety of colors and only costs you 75 whoopee.
Come down to 375 Bionic Ave in Pluto City and fly home with a new used flying saucer today.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tim Hunt of Tilson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Melissa Mano reports for the Times Union how a lack of rain this summer has stunted this year's crops of vegetables. Scott Seeberger of Windy Hill Orchard in Rensselaer County said, and I quote, "Our biggest struggle right now is fruit size. Being an older farm, we didn't have the irrigation system that we would have liked, and we're probably two sizes down on fruit," end quote. The U.S. Drought Monitor reports that most of the local area is in a moderate drought. Last month, for instance, was Albany County's sixth driest July on record, with 1.82 inches of rain below normal, according to the Federal Integrated Drought Information System. Jim Zub, who owns West Wing Ag in Rensselaer and Washington counties, said, and I quote, "It's disheartening because you know that the crop is so damaged that it's not going to recover," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "We haven't seen a drought like this since the first year we bought this farm in 1983. And this is significantly worse because of the timing," end quote. He expects to get 30 bushels an acre of corn this year, rather than the normal yield of about 170 to 175 bushels per acre. "The timing is worse because costs for fertilizer and fuel are nearly double because of global inflation and Russia's invasion of Ukraine." Tessie Gifford on her farm in Gainesport said, and I quote, "The peppers are shriveling up on the plants. The beans feel hollow. Just this week when I pick eggplant, it mushes. It's spongy in my hand," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Andrea Meckle reports in Porcupine Soup that Cairo Town Supervisor Jason Watts and Councilperson Tim Powers are bickering in public again. At the town's August 17th meeting, at the end of the meeting, Powers said, and I quote, "At the August 1st meeting, an executive session was called that was not on the agenda, and the reason being was for discussion of the recent lawsuit that was filed against the town of Cairo," end quote. Powers started to say before Watts cut him off, and I quote, "Upon heading toward the private meeting room," end quote, Watts told Powers, and I quote, "Can't have this discussion. I'm going to put you on notice right now. You cannot have this discussion," end quote. Powers pressed back, and I quote, "No, I can have the discussion that you and Councilwoman Deborah Bogans banned me," end quote. Watts interrupted, saying, "We didn't ban you," end quote. Then Powers said, and I quote, "You tried to ban me from going into executive session," end quote. Watts responded, no, I didn't, end quote. Then Powers said, and I quote, "You tried to call a vote, and you both voted to kick me out," end quote. At one point, Watts said, and I quote, "This is my board," end quote. And Powers corrected him, saying, and I quote, "This is the people's board," end quote. Attorney Monica Kenny Kef is suing the town of Cairo and Watts and town council members Deborah Bogans, Michael Flattery, and Mary Jo Cords on behalf of Cairo residents Emmy Cross and Mountain View Enterprises, LLC, a company owned by Kreft's husband, Chris Kreft. They say the town acted, and I quote, "illegally," voting to split up more than $60,000 in HUD, U.S. Housing, Urban and Development Residential Rehabilitation Grant Funds, among three applicants. Powers was absent the night of that vote, so is not being sued. Watts and Powers frequently bicker with each other at town meetings. Read the full story in Porcupine Soup. Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that Heather Bagshaw has quit her job as Green County Tourism Director. On August 6, she started a new job as the Vice President of Marketing with Destination Niagara USA. She said, and I quote, "Number one, it was just about a personal change. Ultimately, it was about career advancement. This opportunity affords me growth in my career, working with a great destination and team and working under President and CEO of Destination Niagara USA, John Percy, who is well known in the industry. It was a great career move for me, and that's basically the main reason. I did enjoy my time with Green County. I love the people, but it was just time," end quote. Bagshaw became Green Tourism Director in February 2013 and was a Catskill Village Trustee from 2015 to 2018. Green County Administrator Sean Groden sung her praises. Groden said, and I quote, "She worked tirelessly. She automated a lot of things and brought technology to bear in the industry. We had the formation of the Tourism Advisory Committee under her, as well as the Business Advisory Committee under her. So she was very active, and she was very involved in the community," end quote. Groden said the county is looking for a replacement. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining subscriber or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Assange attorneys and journalists sue the CIA over spying. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Journalists are allowed to request documents that have been stolen and to publish those documents. So wrote U.S. Federal Judge John Codal in a 2019 opinion dismissing a lawsuit filed by the Democratic National Committee against Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, and others. Assange published documents on the WikiLeaks website in the very manner the judge described. Despite this, Julian Assange has been in solitary confinement in Britain's maximum security Belmarsh prison for over 3 years. Before that, he spent 7 years living in the cramped Ecuadorian embassy in London. Ecuador granted Assange political asylum as he faced mounting persecution from the U.S. government for his role in exposing U.S. war crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan. The U.S. is seeking Assange's extradition from the United Kingdom to face espionage and conspiracy charges and up to 175 years in prison. Assange's legal team is appealing the U.K.'s approval of the extradition request. Meanwhile, a new case related to WikiLeaks is before Judge Codal. Journalists and several of Assange's attorneys have sued the Central Intelligence Agency and former CIA Director Mike Pompeo, alleging the CIA spied on them when they visited Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy, recording conversations and secretly copying their phones and laptops.
I'm a New York lawyer.
That's Deborah Herbeck, an attorney who met with Assange at the embassy several times, speaking at a news conference announcing the lawsuit.
I have the right to assume that the U.S. government is not listening to my private and privileged conversations with my clients, and that information about other clients and cases I may have on my phone or laptop are secure from illegal government intrusion. This is not just a violation of our constitutional rights. This is an outrage.
CIA spying on Julian Assange and his visitors became public through a Spanish court case against a company called UC Global and its director, David Morales. UC Global was hired by Ecuador in 2012 to provide security for its embassy in London. The CIA, the new lawsuit alleges, recruited UC Global in January 2017 with the help of the late casino billionaire and Republican donor Sheldon Adelson when Morales was at a gun convention in Las Vegas. Morales returned to Spain and, according to the lawsuit, told his employees that, quote, the company would now be operating in the big league and for the dark side with the CIA, unquote. Donald Trump had been a big fan of WikiLeaks during the 2016 campaign after the site published thousands of emails stolen from the Democratic National Committee and from Hillary Clinton and members of her inner circle.
WikiLeaks! I love WikiLeaks!
That's Donald Trump in a speech in October 2016. Then, after he was elected in March 2017, WikiLeaks published Vault 7. Leaked CIA information that the agency itself later admitted was, quote, the largest data loss in CIA history, unquote. Shortly after the first tranche of Vault 7 documents was published, Mike Pompeo blasted WikiLeaks in his first public speech as Trump's new CIA director.
WikiLeaks walks like a hostile intelligence service and talks like a hostile intelligence service, and has encouraged its followers to find jobs at the CIA in order to obtain intelligence. It directed Chelsea Manning in her theft of specific secret information. It overwhelmingly focuses on the United States while seeking support from anti-democratic countries and organizations. It's time to call out WikiLeaks for what it really is, a non-state hostile intelligence service.
Last year, Yahoo News exposed a 2017 CIA plot to kidnap and possibly kill Julian Assange while in the Ecuadorian embassy. Yahoo reported the plot was discussed, quote, at the highest levels of the Trump administration, unquote. Plots to assassinate a publisher, warrantless surveillance of private conversations, and secret duplication of attorneys and journalists' private electronic devices all echo the notoriously criminal conduct of the Nixon administration in the early 1970s. Back then, the target was whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the Pentagon Papers, a secret history of U.S. involvement in Vietnam, that detailed the extent to which successive U.S. administrations lied to the public about the war. Dan Ellsberg was charged with espionage and faced life in prison. President Nixon's obsession with leaks led him to order the burglary of Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office, starting the chain of events that led to the Watergate scandal and Nixon's resignation. When the presiding judge in Ellsberg's trial learned of the government's illegal conduct, he dismissed the case. 50 years later, First Amendment protections for publishers of government secrets, illegal CIA spying, and more are before a federal judge again. Judge John Codel, as a young lawyer, served on the Watergate Special Prosecution Force, now presiding over this case filed by journalists and Assange's attorneys, expect more CIA criminality to come to light. President Biden and his Justice Department should immediately drop all charges against Julian Assange. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now here is your WGXE weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny and hot with a temperature high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 64 degrees. And on Sunday, A chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 86 degrees. And a chance of showers and thunderstorms on Sunday night, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 64 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
The weekend, Rip Van Winkle sandbar times are not great. On Saturday, it's only going to be from 4:30 to 5:30, and again from 4:20 to 5:50 p.m. Now, you're still going to have underwater hazards, but the reason it's so short is because the dip in the river is not going to be as low as it was last week. Consequently, the tide coefficient is going to be low, so paddling will be easy. Anybody out there that, you know, has a hard time or just wants to be lazy paddling on the river, this is going to be your weekend for it. And on Sunday, that sandbar returns 5:50 to 7 a.m. and again 5 p.m. to 6:45. Now, keep in mind, there won't be very much sand showing, maybe an inch or two if it does, because the low just won't be as low. Okay, and looking way up, we see chances are still up for auroras reaching the states, even though the passing coronal mass ejection appears to be having a weaker impact than expected. Solar wind speed is currently 556.4 kilometers per second at 7.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently good enough for AM radio, but then things look okay for most frequencies. With the swirling plasma we're in, that could change at any time, though. The current sunspot number is 83. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Winter is coming.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
All the candlelights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing a part. We know every card by heart. All the candlelights, this is it. We'll hit the heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
When I was a little boy, my folks would say, behave or we'll take you to the mountains and we'll leave you at the mouth of the cave of the winds, where little boys go when they mortally sin. Ever since then, I've had the desire to sneak from my window and sit by a fire in the mountains where I imagine I would join in to the howling sound of the wind. It'll take you away from the mountains to put out your fire, to live in a world where none dare desire the howling wind.
Try something.
I got a job at the radio station.
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
Crossword and listen. It's about Helen.
Go on.
I think she's in trouble. She's singing at the Boom Boom Room.
What kind of trouble?
Rumor has it that Toots is going to kill her.
Toots? I thought I told that no good horn player to jump off the refrain.
Toots says he wants to even the score. He plays a high A in his solo, he's going to shoot.
And what's in it for you, Ms.
Norma?
A five-letter word for out of tune.
You can do better than that, Mr. Sharpie.
Tell Toots he's playing in the wrong clef.
Sharpie, what a coincidence. I was just singing about you.
Cut the sugar. You'll be singing that song from the morgue if you don't watch it, Helen. Toots. He's gonna aim for you during his big solo tonight when he hits the high A.
Mike, what an imagination. Toots hasn't been able to play that A all week. Mike, he hasn't got the chops.
I'm worried about you, Helen.
worried, Mike. You won't even kiss me.
Haven't I got the chops? That shoppy's got a splinted lip. Comes from a dry reed. He'll be back to save his dame. Helen Tremble.
Listen, Toots. Don't you think you've gone too far? I mean, murder. He's a man just like you. If you let me, I'll loosen him up.
Whose side are you on anyway, Toots?
You've changed, Toots. You're not the same anymore. You have a look in your eyes. Toots. Toots? Don't leave me like that. I'm not sure I even know who you are.
Get a chair in Toots' jazz band at the Boom Boom Room. I haven't seen Toots in a while, but a sinister charm still precedes him.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The Book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
We're continuing our sign of evil countdown. Here's Vanessa Williams.
Next, we're going to tune in some brand new radio art from the British radio artist Scanner. 2021, he released the album Earthbound Transmissions, and this is the song Teledrone. On the radio at WGXC.
Thank you.
Here's a 1964 clip from WOR in New York City. Gene Shepherd talking about stealing a radio station.
Well, I was working in a radio station and TV station out in the Midwest, Cincinnati, as a matter of fact. And at the time, I was going to college and so on. And I was usually around the station at night. And it so happened that a couple of young guys got to hanging around. And they were about my age, and they'd hang around, and they were fascinated by this. And they'd look goggle-eyed in the control room, and they got to know the engineers, and they would run out and get sandwiches for them and so on. And they got to be sort of part of a scene. You just kind of accepted them there. And you'd see them, and you'd say hello to them, and that was about it. And once in a while, there'd be a little discussion on how to get in radio, but it was obvious that these guys absolutely were dedicated. They were going to get into radio. They were going to get into radio and television, and they were really involved. Well, about 6 or 7 months went by like this, and one day they stopped coming in. And one thing led to the next. We were all wondering about it. And then nobody thought any more about it, and that was the end of it. And months went by. But strange things started to happen in radio stations in that area. Very strange things. A small radio station in an Ohio town about 30 or 40 miles north of Cincinnati had a transmitter way out in a cornfield someplace. And it was what they call a daytime station. You know, the station goes on the air when dawn comes up, and it goes off the air when the darkness hits. Well, one day, the boys came to work about 7:30 in the morning to turn the station on the air, and the transmitter was gone. Somebody had stolen the transmitter during the night. Well, this was, you know, this is a kind of horse thievery. This is a kind of rustling that I'll tell you, you know, it makes you stop and think. There's not many things you can do with a 1,000-watt AM transmitter. There really aren't. You know, you can't play records through it. You can't use it as a refrigerator or a hat rack. There's the only thing you can do is put it on 12:30 on the dial and hope for some commercials to come in. Well, it was gone, the transmitter. And, of course, there's a little excitement, a little ripple in town. You know, all around the radio station, crying out loud, you hear about what happened to W. Whoopi over there, you know? Well, it's good enough for a rotten programming. So, well, they were off the air about 3 or 4 weeks while their new transmitter arrived. Well, then that died down for a while. Of course, a little excitement. Naturally, the detectives were put on it, but they couldn't discover anything. And a few months later, suddenly, without the masked writer struck again. Another radio station, this time in another town just outside of Cincinnati, again a daytime station. They came in to work one day, and their Raytheon console and two turntables and four microphones had disappeared. Boom! Cleaned out, just like that. Well, now let me tell you, a Raytheon console for a 1,000-watt station is a pretty big piece of equipment. It's about 6 feet, wouldn't you say, Ed, about like that? Probably weighs a half a ton with its associated desk equipment and two big RCA turntables and four or five great big Western Electric mics with the booms. The whole jazz disappeared just like that. Well, of course, by now, people began to piece these things together. They said, for crying out loud, what do you think of this? This is an insane story, you know. Wow, you know. And automatically, there were a lot of little shyster surplus dealers that were beginning to get strange visits from guys with black suits, you know, and snap-brim hats who had bulges under their elbows, you know, and had the unmistakable look of fuzz about them. And they're down there, are you got any microphones? Yeah, turntable. Well, nothing. They turn up nothing. And then, finally, the real blast hit. A radio station right in town, right in the middle of Cincinnati, was one of these stations that was on till midnight, something like that, and they would sign off, and they would go on the air at 5 o'clock in the morning. Most radio stations sign off around 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And this station was right smack in the heart of town. And she signed off one morning about 1 a.m., ready to go on again at 5, and there was a maintenance man there, and he fooled around a little bit, and apparently, you know, he would take a nap, and he would do a little work, and then he would go down and have coffee. Well, this maintenance man went down and had his coffee, and about 4 o'clock in the morning, he came back up, and he dusted things up a little bit, you know, and he's walking around and kind of, you know, just getting things underway and walking around back and forth. When the crew started to come in, and the engineer who was on duty, a bellow of rage out of the control room, somebody had stolen the audio bay. A 6-foot audio bay. Boom! Just like that. Oh! You know, this is fantastic thievery. You can't believe it. Well, this, of course, by now, the whole town is agog. You know, all the radio community is wild. This is an insane kind of rustling. You never heard of anything like it. And then people began to call up and compare notes. And they found that things like cabling had disappeared. Different radio stations were talking. Yeah, one radio station had like 795 records taken one night, you know, LPs and stuff like that, back and forth. And they began to realize that a sneaky, clandestine radio station was being assembled somewhere. It really was being assembled. Well, in the middle of the afternoon, on a quiet fall day, without any warning, a loud hum came on the low end of the band and went off. And there was a silence. And, of course, immediately the FCC starts to move in. And about 6 hours later, they closed in on a Quonset hut. A little Quonset hut that had been used as a silo on the outskirts of Cincinnati, and the squad cars pulled up with all the DF equipment, you know, and they saw those darkened windows with burlap tacked over them, and they could hear sounds in there, you know, like hammering and stuff and talking. And they slowly crept up and whipped out their 45s. All right, you guys, up! And there were our two young radio men surrounded with $45,000 worth of radio equipment, and they were all prepared to go on the air with their own radio station. They even had signs that said, on the air, you know. They had log books that they had stolen. They had the mics all set up, and they had packed beaver board all around. They had built themselves a little studio. They had their control booms there and their mics. They even had, you know, the shades that the jazzy just jockeys wear, a couple of guys with grown beards, and they had a girlfriend of theirs sitting out in the front to take calls from the commercials. They caught the whole kit and caboodle of them, and they had run a wire out to the telephone pole and back, number 12 wire, and somehow they tuned up this 1,000-watt transmitter and got it vaguely on the air. And there they were sitting, and no one knew quite what to do. And they began to cry. One guy's 19. He says, I want to get in the radio. I don't know how to get in. They say, you got to have experience. How do you get in? And the other guy who's 20 says, yeah, you guys, you always say you got to get in. You got to get experience. Where are you going to get it, for crying out loud?
Thank you. Don't tell us where. I can't feel the cold from the inside. Can't kiss it. Can't kiss it.